Welcome to Manage Your Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, where we teach what the Bible tells us are the best practices for handling money. We teach these biblical principles as part of our 9-week small group Bible study called Navigating Your Finances God's Way. You can learn more about our Bible study simply by going to compasscatholic.org. My name is Steve Holbrook, and joining me are the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Today, we're going to get into a discussion, the different ways of ridding yourself of your mortgage. Now, John, home ownership can be a good step for you financially. And wouldn't you say it could also be a very big financial disaster if you're not careful?
Well, that's true. A lot of people think that home ownership is the only way to go because of the tax advantages of owning a home. But that tax advantage may not be adding as much to your bottom line as you think. Keeping a mortgage because it has tax advantages is a waste of money.
Okay, so give me an example. I don't understand what you're talking about.
Well, if you pay, let's say, over the course of a year, $5,000 in interest charges on your mortgage, and if you're in a 25% tax bracket, the advantage for you that your mortgage is giving you is $1,250.
So what's that $1,250? Is that $1,250 I get back on my taxes?
No. It means that you can deduct $1,250 from the amount of income that you've earned.
Okay, so if I'm in the whatever tax bracket.
And that comes off, it's after your adjustable gross income, AGI, happens on the second page, and the $1,250 is part of Schedule A, at least in the old days. We don't know what 2018 tax returns are going to look like quite yet.
So I get a tax advantage, but I'm not getting back everything I paid in interest. I'm getting back a portion of a portion.
Exactly, exactly. And so think of it this way. You give me $5,000, and I'm more than happy to give you back $1,250.
Doesn't sound like a good deal for me.
No. But I'll make that to any one of our listeners. You give me $5,000, I'll give you $1,250 every day. You know, it's every $5,000 you give me, $1,250 comes back. You know, it works just like your mortgage.
So you get an advantage, but not much.
Not much.
So keeping a mortgage simply for the tax advantage, or buying a home simply to get a tax advantage, really doesn't buy you that much of anything.
Correct.
So what
you're catching on.
So what we want to do is we want to encourage people to pay off that mortgage as quickly as possible and quit worrying about the tax advantage, right?
Exactly. Let's talk about how you might pay off your mortgage early, eliminate the interest payment altogether. And so we're going to use some examples here, and let me set the parameters. We're going to say that your mortgage, the mortgage amount, the principal amount, is $200,000. The duration is 30 years, and the interest rate is 4.5%.
Okay, so how do I pay that off more quickly by refinancing?
One way to do that is to go to a 15-year mortgage. Okay, so you refinance from a 30-year to a 15-year. Now, in the example, over 30 years, your monthly payment is going to be $1,013. That's principal and interest. We don't know what your property insurance is, and we don't know what your
taxes
are, okay? So let's just assume that 5 years later, you're going to refinance that 30-year loan into a 15-year loan at 4%.
So you've decreased the time schedule that your mortgage is going to last, and you've also decreased the percent interest you're paying on the mortgage.
Correct.
And you probably decreased the principal because you've been paying on the mortgage for 5 years.
You've decreased the principal a little bit.
Somewhat smaller.
So your new monthly payment is going to be $1,349. Okay, that's principal and interest. So that's a monthly increase of $336 over what it was when you had your 30-year loan.
And how far does that cut the time then for me?
Well, it pays off the mortgage 10 years earlier, and it saves you more than $60,000 in interest charges. You need to look at what the closing costs are, because when you refinance, you know, you're going to get some closing costs. But over the 15-year course of the loan, it's really not going to amount to too much. So, you know, it's important for your upfront cost, but over the course of the loan, it's not that important.
So one of the ways to pay off your mortgage early is to refinance, but you need to be sure that the additional cost of refinancing to a shorter loan is in your budget.
Absolutely, absolutely. Because if you can't add that extra $336 in your budget and be able to pay it every month, then you're going to put yourself in a trap of not being able to make your mortgage payment.
Which is not good.
That's not a good thing.
Nope.
Definitely not. Now, there's another trap to refinancing and going through all that huge process of doing that. And that is, how long are you going to stay in your house? If you're going to be in your house for the next 15 years, that's good. But if you think you're going to move in the next 2 or 3 or 4 years, you know, up to maybe 5, then it doesn't pay you to go through all that process.
Because of the closing costs.
Because of the closing costs, yes. Yeah. You're not going to get that money back.
Okay.
All right. Does that make sense?
And based on our history, we were in many houses that we weren't in for that long. Right?
Yeah. We should have done a lot of renting. But we didn't.
But we didn't know that going in.
No. We didn't. When we went in, we thought we were going to live there for quite a while.
Forever.
You know, our forever house, we only lived in 18 months.
That was a fast forever, wasn't it?
So, you know, shorter-term mortgages typically have interest rates that are, in today's market, that are a quarter to three-quarters of a percentage point lower than what a 30-year mortgage is. They're pretty much always, you figure, 30-year mortgage, that's going to be a high number. 15-year mortgage is going to be a lower number. 10-year mortgage is going to be a little bit lower than the 15, okay? So the faster that you agree to pay it off, the lower the interest rate, but the higher the monthly payment.
But if you can't get a lower interest rate, then there's no sense refinancing, right?
Absolutely not. No. Why would you want to refinance to get a higher rate? Oh, I'd rather pay more interest.
Shorter term.
You know, all the numbers that you're throwing out there, 15, 30, 40, 4.5, 4%. On CompassCatholic.org, we have mortgage calculators that will do the work for you. So if you're sitting out there listening and going, oh, my head's spinning, go to CompassCatholic.org, click on resources, and take a look at the mortgage calculators, because you can plug in 4%, 3.25%.
You know, that's a great point, Steve, because to be perfectly honest, as we calculated these numbers to set the examples, that's exactly what we used.
So, oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So learn how John and Evelyn used a cheat sheet.
That's why we have the calculators there.
And you thought he was doing this math in his head.
Yeah, right.
I've seen him. He has his shoes off when we
record.
Well,
I didn't want to tell everybody that.
Sometimes if it's a big number, Steve and I need to take off our shoes too.
If you don't want to refinance, or maybe you're not going to be living in that house for more than another 2 or 3 years, a way of accomplishing the same thing, but without spending the extra money to do the refinancing, is just to increase your monthly payment by, you know, a couple hundred dollars, whatever you think that you can afford.
Now, even if you're going to move in a couple years, you should still try to do that, because when you sell the house, you'll get more equity out of the house for your next house you need to buy.
Yeah, you'll be able
to
have
more. So it's still
a
good idea,
because
you're still getting ahead.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Do you have to notify the lending institution that this extra payment goes to principal, interest?
Well, we're going to talk about that. Yeah, that's our next topic. We've kind of led right into it. You're a good straight man, Steve.
Thank you. I'm working on it.
So every mortgage payment that we make is PITI, right? P-I-T-I, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance.
Yes,
right?
Typically.
Typically. And we don't know what people's insurance and taxes are, so we're just talking here about principal and interest, right?
That's right.
Okay. So most of the time, all the time, when you first start making a mortgage payment, when your mortgage is new, you're paying a lot more in interest than you are in principal.
Yes.
So more of your money is being paid to the bank in interest than principal. So what you want to do is increase that principal payment to get down the amount of the loan lower. So
Absolutely.
More of your money keeps going to principal every month.
Yeah, your goal should be to pay as much in principal as is possible in order to decrease the amount of the loan and get it paid off faster. So if we talk about the same example we just used a couple of minutes ago, $200,000 loan, 30 years, 4.5%. The first year, your total payments are going to be about $12,000. That's close to $3,200 that's going to the principal and $9,000 that's going to the interest payments. So that would, at the end of 12 months, leave you with a loan balance of about $196,800. Now, if you were to make an extra principal payment each month, which is approximately $270, your loan balance would be reduced to about $193,000. It's going to save you $9,000 in interest charges just in that 1 year.
And it takes a full year off your mortgage because you've already paid 2 years worth of principal payments in 1 year.
That's right.
So your mortgage is now 29 years, not 30 years.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. So there's a lot of ways to do that. You can work on the principal. You could just make one extra mortgage payment each year. So you could save 1/12 every month. And when you get to the 12th month, then you've got one extra payment. And so you make two payments in that 12th month. That will help you. That will typically reduce your total mortgage. If you did that over the whole 30 years, that would help reduce it by 4 years. So instead of 30 years, it'd be a 26 years, you'd get it paid off.
You know, and that doesn't sound like a lot. When you look at a 30-year loan, paying it off in 26 years doesn't sound like that much. But once you start seeing the mortgage principal go down and you see it decreasing, it's easy to get excited about that and stay on track to get it paid down even faster. It's kind of a motivating factor when you see the principal balance keep decreasing month after month after month.
In year 26, you're going to be really excited.
Because all those mortgage payments can then go to fund retirement, right?
That's absolutely right. And another thing you can do is apply any found money. You know, if you get a raise or you get a tax return or Aunt Betty gives you $500, you know, put that towards your mortgage and that will help. You know, if you do that all the time, you'd be surprised, you know, how much you can cut off the loan amount.
We have tossed out a lot of numbers today. And to make it easy for your situation to figure out how much you're going to save in interest and when the loan may be paid off if I make additional payments, go to compasscatholic.org. Play around with the mortgage calculators that we have available. When you get to the website, click on the word resources. Be amazed over the life of your loan, how much of your money you get to keep rather than the mortgage institution. We're discussing the many ways you can reduce or get rid of that mortgage. John and Evelyn, being the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, join me today. And John, you began to discuss, let's call it found money. Inheritances, a big bonus from work. Do you recommend putting that towards the mortgage?
Well, you know, if you got something like a $10,000 lump sum and you want to apply that towards the mortgage, you can do that. You just have to talk to the mortgage company, we're going to talk about that in just a second, but talk to the mortgage company, make sure they understand what you're doing, and make sure that that extra amount that you're paying all goes towards principal. Because if you just send it in, you don't talk to the mortgage company, they're going to apply it as principal and interest. And the majority of that $10,000 is going to get eaten up in interest charges.
So they're just going to take off that. They're just going to take off like the next three payments or something like that.
Well, yeah. You don't want to do that. A $10,000 lump sum would probably allow you to reduce the mortgage by a couple of years.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah.
So the downside of using this extra money to pay off your mortgage is that you don't really have a plan. You're kind of waiting for the extra money to come in before you do anything about paying off the mortgage.
That's definitely a downside.
Yeah, you don't have a consistent method to get it paid off.
Yeah,
And when that extra money comes in, it's real easy to spend it on other stuff. You can always justify doing something with it instead of paying off the mortgage.
Yeah, there's no question. Now, another way of doing this is by making bi-weekly mortgage payments. So what do we mean by bi-weekly mortgage payments?
Bi-weekly, bi-monthly always confuses me.
Okay.
So it's every other week?
Every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks, okay.
Yeah, every 2 weeks is biweekly. You make half your mortgage payment in the first at the month, and then you make the second half of your mortgage payment, the rest of it, 2 weeks later. So what's that going to do? Well, you're going to now make, because there's 52 weeks in a year, and you're doing it every other week, basically, you're going to get 26 full mortgage payments.
Oh, because if you do it once a year.
Yeah, you're going to make 26 mortgage payments of a half, but that's equal to 13 full mortgage payments. So you'll get a whole extra month's payment. But the other thing is, because you're paying every 2 weeks, they're not able to charge as much interest. So you're going to reduce the interest also, because they have to recalculate the interest every time that you make a payment. And so the interest amount will go down, the principal amount will go up just a little bit faster doing it that way.
So, John, you said the principal goes, you're not talking about the principal on the mortgage going up, you're talking about the amount I'm paying more principal than interest when I do this every other week thing.
Yeah, every time you make a payment and you're doing it biweekly, the amount that it goes towards the principal increases
slightly.
A little bit. And the amount that goes towards the interest decreases a little bit. And that's how you get to pay the mortgage off a little bit faster and reduce the interest charges, because, you know, it recalculates interest every time you make a payment. And because you've paid against the balance, the principal balance, then
you're paying less in interest each time.
Exactly.
You do it.
Exactly.
Cool. All right. That's a good idea. What's your next idea?
Well, I don't know. Which direction do you want me to go?
Well, what about if we make if we save a little bit of money each month and we make an extra mortgage payment every quarter? That'll probably take some upfront planning, because you have to put that into your budget, but that would be four extra mortgage payments a year.
Yes, yes. And so if you do that, and like you say, you could definitely have to plan, because now you're talking about spending an extra $1,000 or a little bit more than that every quarter, you will be able to pay off your mortgage 9 years faster than if you were just paying on a monthly basis, just once every month,
and
with no additional.
That probably saves a ton of money, doesn't it?
Well, you're going to save over $50,000 in interest for sure.
Our listeners are thinking about paying their mortgage off early, but any of these strategies, they really need to talk to their bank, correct? Or their mortgage company?
Well, yes, you definitely need to talk to the mortgage company, because you want to make sure they understand what you're going to do, and you want to make sure that your mortgage document itself doesn't prohibit you from making early payments. You know, it used to be, and it's not so much anymore, I haven't seen one in a long time, but you couldn't make payments in advance.
Really? That sounds really bad.
And you actually were charged a penalty. The banks were trying to get more money, you know.
Oh, those silly banks. They're always trying to get more money from us, aren't they?
So you got to make sure that the bank understands how to apply the money that you're paying. And so if you tell them, I'm going to do it every 2 weeks, you need to do it every 2 weeks so that they don't get confused.
But I remember when we were in Indiana, when we lived in Indiana, we tried to do the biweekly thing, and our bank would not accept partial payments for the mortgage.
Again, it's,
so it's mortgage company specific.
Yeah. Sometimes they're just totally inflexible because they're big and they can, you know.
So if you want to get serious about paying off your mortgage early, like Steve said earlier in the program, check out our mortgage payment calculators on Compass Catholic. Under resources and calculators, you can play with the numbers and get reports, and it'll tell you when your mortgage is going to be gone and how much you're going to save.
Now, another thing is, and this I think is critical, anytime you're paying your mortgage, in some manner other than once a month per the prescribed solution, the payoff solution that you got the day you sat down and signed your name 40,000 times, you need to make sure you've talked to the bank, and then every month when you get your statement, the mortgage statement back, make sure that the money that you gave them was applied correctly. In other words, if you're paying every other week, you want to make sure that they're not just taking the whole first part of it and putting it towards interest and then taking the last of it and putting it towards principal and some interest. Or, you know, you got to make sure that it gets applied correctly no matter what you're doing, especially if you do a lump sum. You know, you got to make sure that's not all going to interest. It's going mostly, it should be all going to principal.
Are these the questions you ask as you apply for the loan, that you're planning on making additional payments? How does that work?
They are great questions to ask, Steve, when you're applying for the loan. The problem is that most people are so excited and maybe so overwhelmed at the prospect of now they've got a new house or their first house, right, or, you know, whatever. And those kind of thoughts go out the window because they're focused on...
No, it's just like at closing. That information is right in front of you, but you just want to keep signing your name. You don't have time because you just want to get out of there and into a new home.
Yes. Yeah. You got to go unpack boxes. Mm-hmm.
But that's a good thing to think about before you shop for a mortgage, is write down all these sorts of questions and talk about that with your potential lender when you're shopping for a mortgage. So, John, what are other ideas you have about getting rid of your mortgage early?
Another good thing to be aware of is that when you bought the house, if you didn't put down 20% equity, in other words, make a down payment of at least 20%, then the mortgage company is going to charge you mortgage insurance. They figure that if you've got 20% equity in the loan, you're going to follow through and make all the payments and stuff like that. But if you've got something less than 20%, they just automatically assume that you might be suspect.
That's the same words I was going to use.
So what a mortgage insurance, what that is they take the mortgage amount and multiply it by 1%. So in the example that we've been using, if you had a $200,000 mortgage and you only put down $10,000, they're going to charge you mortgage insurance against the $190,000 balance. So 1% of $190,000 is $1,900 divided by 12, and whatever that comes out to be, about $175 or $160, I still got my shoes on, so I can't get that far. But you're paying that extra amount of money every single month until the equity is greater than 20%. If you are already at 20%, you want to make sure that you're not paying that 1% mortgage insurance.
And that's on you to check. The bank's not going to call you.
You know, they're required by law at some point afterwards, but...
they're not going to be proactive about it.
Okay, yeah, right. Exactly.
It's up to you to be proactive.
Exactly.
You know, one thing we did to pay off our mortgage early, and this was consolidated with a move we had where we moved to a different state, was just to downsize significantly. And we took all the equity from the bigger house and put it against the smaller house, so we had a really, really small mortgage.
Well, actually, we did that before we moved cities. If you're staying in the same city and you can really reduce it, you know, that's a great idea. If you're moving to another city, it's a fantastic idea because you want to get as small a mortgage as possible. Take as much of the cash, every penny you've got out of that old house, and put it into the down payment of the new house.
You know, the thing I don't think people realize is that the smaller houses come with significantly less costs. It costs less to heat it, to clean it, to take care of it. So not only are you paying less on the mortgage, but you're paying less for your regular living expenses.
Nobody ever thinks of that kind of stuff, Ellen.
I did. Remember the spreadsheet I did? I did a spreadsheet, Steve.
Imagine that. This is the bottom line. You want to pay off your consumer and your credit card debt quickly so that you can focus on your mortgage. That needs to be paid off before you really start focusing on the mortgage, because you're talking about 4 or 5% as opposed to 15, 16, 17%. Get those other things paid off. Now, the mortgage is probably the largest single debt that you have. And if you can apply all of the money that you were paying on your credit card and consumer debt to the mortgage in addition to the normal mortgage payment, it's going to allow you to pay your house off so much faster. And, you know, think of how much money you could save if you didn't have to pay the mortgage every month. You know, that $1,000 or $1,200 could be going every month into your retirement savings. It could be going into college savings, maybe give you a slush fund that you could travel with, you know, visit all these places on your bucket list. Not having that mortgage payment is really a beautiful thing.
I am a huge endorser of making additional monthly payments for your mortgage. John and Evelyn are correct. Once the mortgage was paid off, we were able to really focus in on the retirement. And putting those mortgage payments into a retirement account allowed us to retire 6 years earlier than planned. Again, use the mortgage calculators found at compasscatholic.org so you can plug in your specific numbers for your situation. Thank you so much for listening. We have a new podcast available for you each and every Wednesday. This has been Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from CompassCatholic.com.